We've seen a theme throughout many, many Melachos and Shabbos that very often, in order to understand the Melachos of the Shabbos, you have to understand that, that particular action, that particular Maisa plays out in other areas of Halacha. We've talked about this a lot in Mishul, in Choresh, in Zoreah, and the same is true when it comes to the Melach of Gozes. So we said that the Melach of Gozes, the Melach of shearing sheep, so it now has relevance for us in terms of cutting hair and shaving and cutting nails. So this area of halacha applies in other areas of halacha as well, and we study a little bit about how Gozes plays out in other areas, and that's going to impact a little bit on the Shabbos. So one of the ways of doing this is to learn a sugya that relates to Maseches Nazir, because the Sukkim tell us that Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair, not allowed to move any hair of his head. So the Mishnah has a discussion about what if a Nazir is not literally cutting his ear, what if a Nazir is playing with his ear, he's twiddling with his ear, he's playing with his face a little bit, he's scratching his head, things like that. Is that considered to be a violation of potentially cutting off the hair of the Nazir? So the Mishnah records that it's a machlokes atanoim about this. The Mishnah says it's mutter, and the Gemara tells us it's a machlokes atanoim. It's a throwback to the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon about Dovah Shem Miskaven. If a person does action A, and there is a chance that action B may occur, and action B is something that is also. So Rabbi Yehuda says they're not allowed to do it. You can't do action A to risk that maybe action B will happen if action B is in fact a davar also. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's okay. A davar shem miskaven, that as long as you're not intending to do B, so you're allowed to do it. So comes the Mishnah and says, therefore, a nazir would be permitted to be chayfet b'sa'aro. He's allowed to play with his hair a little bit. He's allowed to wash his hair, shampoo his hair a little bit. That's okay, even though there is a possibility that some of the hairs may fall out. And if you would actually pull out two hairs intentionally, that would be an issur min haTorah. But since it's not, I'm not sure it's really going to happen in the first place, and that's really not what his intention is, so therefore it's permissible. And we pass in halacha like Rabbi Shimon. This is one of the rites that Tosfos says, that we pass like Rabbi Shimon, not just in Shabbos, we pass like Rabbi Shimon called Torah Kula. So the halacha is clear that this is permissible. Nevertheless, the Mishnah concludes by saying that even though a Nazir is permitted to play with his hair, permitted to wash his hair, but lo serik, he's not permitted to comb his hair, not permitted to brush his hair. What is the difference between the two? So clearly that when a person is combing and brushing the hair, so the odds are much more in favor that actually something is going to come out. And the Gemara is even a stronger lotion. The Gemara says when a person brushes his hair, they actually want some of the hairs to come out. The hairs that are not so great to be there in the first place, the hairs that are almost dead anyway, so it would be better for those hairs to come out anyway. So therefore, the Gemara says that when a Nazir combs his hair, so that's a mechavet, as if he's intending to pull those hairs out. So it's not 100% clear whether the Gemara meant an absolute davar mechavet mamish, or whether the Gemara meant something a little bit different. Some Rishonim quote the Gemara and have a little bit of a different twist on the Gemara. Some Rishonim quote the Gemara to mean that it's not just not literally a davar mechavet, but it falls into the category we call a psikration. We've also mentioned this many, many times, that even though Rabbi Shimon holds that Dover Shein and Miskavin is permissible to Chetchila on Shabbos, that's how we pass in. But maybe Rabbi Shimon of Sigration. Rabbi Shimon agrees that if by doing action A, you know for a fact action B is going to happen, according to many false communities, you don't know literally for a fact, but it's very likely that action B is going to happen, that is no longer a Dover Shein and Miskavin. That is a Sigration, that is a very, very serious problem. So it could be that when the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon, who says you're allowed to play with your hair as a nazir, but you're not allowed to comb your hair, it could be all the Gemara means is that it's a psik reisha. So it's not 100% clear whether the Gemara means that you're mamish mechavin, or whether it's a psik reisha. It doesn't make that much of a difference to us, because either way it's going to be problematic. Either if it's a mechavin mamish, or if it's a psik reisha, the bottom line is a nazir is not allowed to do it. So halach l'maisa for hilchus naziros, for as much as that's relevant halach l'maisa today, so hilchus naziros, the din is that a Nazir is not allowed to comb his hair, not allowed to brush his hair, because either he's literally intending to pull out the hairs, or at least it's a psigratia that he's going to pull out the hairs. So now the question is, where does this take us in terms of Hilchos Shabbos? So we said that for a person on Shabbos to mamish pull out the hair, to mamish get a haircut, that would be a problem. So what if the person is not literally getting a haircut, he just wants to comb his hair, just wants to brush his hair? So the Rivash writes in the Chubut, it's obvious that that's going to be a problem, because if the Gemara said that it's a powerful nazir, either because of Dabra Mechavi Mamish, or because of Psigresha, either one of those two reasons will carry over to Hilchos Shabbos as well. So it's a double portion, says the Rivash, that under no circumstances will a person be permitted to comb or brush the hair on Shabbos, because there is that concern, there is that fear, again, either Mechavim or Tigresha, either one would be answer, that the person may do it on the Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef quotes that there were some who wanted to suggest that maybe it's okay. The Yeshayim was a possibility, And maybe that it would be mutter perhaps for a person to brush or to comb the hair on Shabbos. It's very hard to defend what that was based on. It sounds like the Rav Ashi's reasoning is a very, very powerful reasoning. But the Beis Yosef writes that whoever it was, he doesn't quote them by name, who wanted to permit the brushing or combing of hair on Shabbos, are absolutely not correct. He said he thinks it's against the Beferish Gemara. What's the Beferish Gemara? The Gemara doesn't even talk about combing hair on Shabbos. So the Beis Yosef says he thinks it's against the Beferish Gemara in Maseches Nida. This is a throwback to some of the things we spoke about last week. We spoke about it in terms of the cutting of the nails, and the relationship to cutting of the nails, the tefillah of the mikvah. So the comes to Beis Yosef and says that Lamaisa, the Gemara says in the end of Nida, those who remember back from Daf Yomi, not that long ago, at the very end of Maseches Nida, so the Gemara discusses the halacha of chafifa. Before a woman goes to the mikvah, she has to do the process of chafifa. What is chafifa? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Baba Kama that min haTorah, before a person goes to the mikvah, they have to inspect themselves to make sure they don't have any terrible chatzitzas on them. It's going to be a very, very quick examination of the Torah, because you're really only looking for a Ruba HaMachmin. Ruba HaMachmin means that it's on most of your body, and you really care about it, so that should take you about less than a second to see. But if I don't see that I'm head to toe in mud, I'm probably good to go. That's the din of the Torah. But with the Rabbanan, you have to do a little bit more than that. With the Rabbanan, you have to make sure you have no chatzitzas, even miyutim HaMachmin, and then you have to do even more than that. And that was the Takon of Ezra. The Gemara says this was an old Takonah that was made already in the days of Ezra. The Gemara in the 7th Baruch of Baba Kama lists off 10 different takonos that Ezra made, and one of them was Ihtiken Chafifa L'Tvila, that he instituted that before a person goes to the mikvah, it's not enough just to look, it's not enough just to even make a long look, but you have to mamish, scrub, you have to clean, you have to make sure, make all preparations that you're clear to go in terms of chatzitzas. So it seems pretty clear for the Gemara that the Iker Chafifa, at least a good chunk of Chafifa that Ezra was talking about, related to the hair. Because the Gemara says that if a person goes to the mikvah, they have dirt in the hair, they have knots in the hair, that can pose a whole lot of problems. And therefore, Ezra is misakin that you have to be chafif, you have to clean up your hair before you go to the mikvah. There was a machlekes that we showed him whether included in the Takonas Ezra was also that you have to wash your entire body, and you have to check your body, but you have to bathe, you have to shower, you have to wash your entire body before going to the mikvah. So that was a machlekes that we showed him. So Rabbi Natan said that meikamikradin, even according to Takonas Ezra, you don't really have to take a shower before going to the mikvah. You have to do your hair, wash your hair, comb your brush, and make sure there are no knots and no dirt in the hair. That's the ikar Takonas Ezra of Chafifa. The fact that women wash their bodies before they go to the mikvah, Rabbi Natan claims there's only b'teras minug. It's not really, really an absolute requirement. The ikar chafifa, but the rabbanon is only on the hair. And Rashi seems to disagree. Rashi seems to say, no, the ikar chafifa is the whole body. Or the Rishon said, the ikar chafifa is the whole body. It doesn't make much of a difference for us. There's no question that before a woman goes to the mikvah, she does chafifa. And chafifa includes the hair and the body. There's not a lish himself. There's no woman that would ever go to the mikvah today without doing chafifa on both. But whether or not the chafifa, the ikar mikra din, is only on the hair and the body is a minug, or whether the body is also required, the ikar din is subject to a debate. Doesn't make all that much of a difference for us. There was a later minhag that was instituted in many, many communities, particularly Ashkenazi communities, that not only does a woman have to shower, but she should sit in the bath as well. That was already doesn't appear in the Gemara, doesn't appear in the Rishonim, that a woman should also bathe. In addition to taking a shower, she should also bathe. That'll be an even better, stronger cleaning. Again, that's a minhag that we in Ashkenazi communities observe. Some of the Sfarim do, some of the Sfarim don't. I can't tell you for sure, but Ashkenazi communities, they do observe this. But here the post can point out that this is for sure not a din. This is for sure b'teras minhag. So therefore, we have a rule that minhagim don't always apply if there's a big, big shas erchak. If you have some extenuating circumstances, then a minhag doesn't have to be observed. The Moshe of the Poskim said that in Europe, back in the 1800s, there was a certain time when there was a big, big famine, and it was very, very hard to get potato starch. You couldn't get anything to eat on Pesach. So the Poskim at the time, Yitzchak Chanan, at the time was matir that the Ashkenaz couldn't eat at that particular Pesach, because the Poshe had no food. So whenever you have something that's only b'toras minug, so then the minug can sometimes be lifted when you have a shas erchak gadol. So here the postman said the same thing in Uchus Tevila B'mikvah. Let's say you have a situation where the woman mamish cannot take a bath. It's impossible to take a bath. Why is it impossible to take a bath? She has some kind of a medical condition. It's difficult. Whatever the case may be, it becomes very, very difficult to take a bath. So there's no need to observe this minute. So except for you do your hair and shower properly, and do whatever the ikra din is, the ikra minute is, and you're moichel on this minute. But again, under normal circumstances, the woman should be bathing, showering, doing her hair, etc. So the Gemara at the end of Maseches Nida is a whole discussion about how in the world is a person going to do chafifa if Halel Tevila is going to be on Friday night. So obviously she's not going to do the chafifa right before she goes to the mikvah, so she's going to have to do it, maybe El Yom. There is a machlokes and rishonim when exactly is the right time to do the chafifa. Is the optimal time for chafifa before it gets dark and then add the tefillah, or after it gets dark and then add the tefillah? What's the shaila? So the rishonim explained there are two different factors that are tugging us. On the one hand, we would like very much to do it early, because if you do it late, it's already dark outside, everyone's going to be nervous, she's going to be going back to late, so she's going to start to do a chafifa. It's an hour after it gets dark, she's going to come back in the middle of the night, so she's going to end up doing a quick job, she's going to be too nervous to do a thorough job. So one side of the Gemara is that it's better to do the chafifas on a regular, not on Friday night, regular Tuesday night, it's better to do them Tuesday afternoon. And the other opinion of the Gemara says, no, the exact opposite is true, that we dafka don't want her to do the chafifa maybe on Yom, because she'll get dirty again. So we want to do the chafifa upload right before the Shas Tevilah. So it's unclear what the final psak is. What's the bottom line? The diab of the chafifa is good either way, but what's the optimal way of doing chafifa? Dafka before dark or dafka after dark? So that's what the Rishonim quoted, meaning that we have adopted in our communities that if one's able to, that she does a little bit of both. Most women try to start the chafifa maybe al yom, and they finish it into the dark a little bit. So they don't want to start everything at 10 o'clock at night. That's going to be very, very hard. On the other hand, they don't want to finish everything at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not going to be so thorough. So we start late in the afternoon, and you move into the night, and then you go through the mikvah. That's the official standard minhag at the Rishonim. That's what's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. That was all fine and dandy before women went to work. So in the olden days, women were home, so they could schedule the chafifa whenever they want to. But zman hazeh, many women find that impossible. So in the wintertime, she is 4:30. The woman's in the office till 5:30. So how in the world is she going to do chafifa? So you have to improvise a little bit. Some things maybe do that a little bit in the morning, maybe do a little bit later, whatever. You have to finagle around a little bit. But that's all the chachilu. But the ikar mikra din, as long as the chafifa was done properly, either late in the afternoon or early at night, whatever it was, so the ikar din, the chafifa would be acceptable. So the Gemara says that one thing is out of the question. You cannot do a chafifa on Shabbos, you cannot do a chafifa on Yom Tov. And that starts a whole sugya in the end of the Masechet Nida. What do you do if Halel Tevilah is Friday night, and what if Halel Tevilah is Mitzvah Shabbos, and what if it's 2 days Yom Tov, and Rosh Hashanah is 2 days after Shabbos, 3 days Yom Tov, every case under the sun, the Gemara goes through. When in the world do you do the chafifa? So the Sefer says the one thing that's crystal clear from the Gemara is that you cannot do chafifa on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's like not negotiable. If you were able to do chafifa on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so then just do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You drink a cup of doing it 3 days early. Just do it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Sefer says the answer is because you can't. Why can't you? Because chafifa includes combing your hair. Part of the chafifa is to get the knots out. That's what the Gemara says. You have to brush your hair to do chafifa. So the Sefer says obviously that can't be done on Shabbos. Why can't that be done on Shabbos? Because the Gemara Nazir says that a Nazir can't comb the hair. So just as the Nazir can't comb the hair, we're not this here, but we can't comb the hair on Shabbos, because either because it's a davar mechavin mamish, because you're intending to pull out the bad hairs, or because at least it's a psik reisha. So no matter how you slice it, since the Beis Yosef, it's befeirush in the Gemara that you're not allowed to do chavifa on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the only reason to explain that halacha is based on the fact that combing and brushing hair clearly must be off limits. That's the Beis Yosef's analysis of the sugya. So others question the Beis Yosef whether this is the absolute best raya, because it's not even clear that for the purposes of chafifa you actually need combing and brushing. So the Shach quotes a machlekes and Rishonim on a regular Tuesday night. When a woman does chafifa, is it necessary for her to mamish brush, to take a brush with a comb and a real clear, really get through all the knots? Or is it enough to do what we call pispus biyama, just put your fingers through it? Just we're going to talk to you and demonstrate here, but if I have to demonstrate, I'm going to try. So everyone can do it themselves if they want, but if you just kind of run through your hair a little bit with your fingers, and you see there's no knots, if you touch it, you see there's no, you don't feel any big cook there, so that would be good enough. So it's not even clear that you need to take a brush or your comb out. If that's the case, so then why can't you do that on Shabbos? You're not allowed to play with your hair a little bit on Shabbos, you're allowed to go through your hair with your fingers on Shabbos. So what was the problem? Obviously, the reason why Chazal didn't want chafifa on Shabbos had nothing to do with the combing in the hair. It had nothing to do with the brushing in the hair. We're not even sure if the brushing in the hair is necessary altogether. When women go to the mikvah, they don't just do fistful stain. They even do the real mikvah. They really brush them. They brush out the hair and they comb out the hair properly. But according to many Rishonim, even that's not necessary. So the answer must be, other Rachmanim say, is that the reason why Chazal didn't want chafifa on Shabbos is for a totally different reason. That means if you do chafifa on Shabbos, there are so many things that are going to go wrong with the Shabbos. First of all, chafifa has to be done with hot water. So next thing you know is the guy's going to start heating up hot water. Other things are going to go wrong. Other problems. There's going to be other mechshalim on Shabbos. So it could be that the fact that chafifa is off limits on Shabbos and Yom Tov is not because brushing hair per se is also. Maybe brushing hair is mutter. Maybe the Rebush is right. Maybe he's not right. I don't know, say the other Rishonim. Maybe it's taka mutter to brush hair on Shabbos. There's no raya brewer from chafifa. But the nice matter how the dust settles for us is that the Rebush is accepted by halacha, and the argument against the Rav Asher is very, very hard to understand, and the Raya of the Beis Yosef may not be a Raya, but even without the Raya of the Beis Yosef, there's no reason to believe that one's allowed to brush a kol here on Shabbos. If the Gemara says that a Nosa can, so then the corollary is that we can't either during on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So halacha l'maaseh, we paskin that the Belish himself, that we paskin that one is not permitted to brush a kol one's here on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, for that concern, either it's a davar mechabed mamish or at least it's a psik reisha. There's very difference l'halacha, why we answer it. So here it may also be a throwback to Kos Migdal. This is a little bit of a throwback that we spoke about in the previous weeks. The woman's not allowed to do the brushing, the combing on Shabbos. But she forgot. She comes now Friday night to the mikvah. She forgot the brushing. She forgot to comb her hair. Now what do you do? So can you ask a non-Jew to brush or comb the hair for her at that point? So the same way we said that there's a shayla, can you ask the non-Jewish woman to cut her nails? What would be the din here? So this may be a little bit more kal for the following reason. That if you hold that brushing here is only a psik reisha, so we have a general rule that a mir liyapam on a psik reisha is probably mutter. Means I'm not allowed to ask a goy to do a malacha for me. What I am allowed to do is I'm allowed to ask a goy to do an action for me, even though I know full well that that action may bring about a malacha. So I'm not allowed to do that. But to ask the goy, I didn't do a mir liyapam. I didn't tell the goy to do a malacha. I told the goy, I asked the goy to do something that's perfectly permissible. It happens to be that a malacha is going to be schlepped along. So according to many, many poskim, a mir liyapam on a psik reisha is hetero mamsha, absolute freebie. Our minig is that whenever there's any tzarech Shabbos, we're not outright mandatory. There's always tzarech Shabbos. If there's not tzarech Shabbos, why is the guy asking the Shabbos? Of course he needs it. So anytime you have a situation where it's an really hot one, situation would be mutter. So that's what the many of us can say. If the woman forgot to brush her hair before going to the mikvah, so she could ask the goy to look at chila to brush her hair for her, because if you assume that it's only situation, so then you wouldn't say really hot one situation. And even if you hold that it's a dovra mechavin mamish, one could still possibly make grounds l'hokel, because one could argue, basically we spoke about last week, it's not a deraisa, because it's probably malach shatzuch l'gufa, she doesn't really want, she's not going to use the hair that's coming out to make a shape out of it, and she's only doing it because the halacha requires it, so she's not even doing it to beautify herself, so it's a malach shatzuch l'gufa, so a malach shatzuch l'gufa is only mitzvah, and a miliyakam and a derabanan, and a mitzvah, but there anyway, so halacha l'mais in the post of my maker, they're very, very lenient about this, a woman forgot to brush a comb of hair before going to the mikvah, so she can have the non-Jewish woman do it on her behalf, even on Friday night. Sometimes we do this even with chatchila, very often when a woman goes to the mikvah on Yom Tov, or the Shabbos following Yom Tov, so she's already been 3 days, her hair hasn't been brushed and been combed, very often there are knots there, there are Amish knots there. So even though she technically did a chafifa 3 days ago, but push comes to shove, her hair is still knotty, especially if she's wearing a sheitel. So some women they know they're going to the mikvah, say tomorrow night or something, so they'll try not to wear the sheitel during the day, because the sheitel tends to knot up the hairs more. But it's 3 days younger, so she tells her to shul every day, walking around in a snoot, she doesn't want to do that. So she's going to put a sheitel on, it's going to knot up the hair, she's going to have a problem. So the poskim of a maker, you can have the non-Jewish woman brush or comb out her hair for her right before she goes to the mikvah. Again, either because it's a psikreisha on a Amir Liyakov, or it's a shvus and mocha mitzvah, for a variety of reasons why this would be permissible. So again, the normal circumstances, you can't brush or comb your hair, therefore chafifa should not be done on Shabbos, but if you have a mamish stuff, so then it can be done with mocha mitzvah, things like that, it can be done by a goy on Shabbos and Yom. That halach that we mentioned before, that we assume most of us can hold that a psik reisha is mutar de goy. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something for you. That is very, very helpful kula. We rely on that all the time. Let's say a person realized they forgot to turn off their light in the refrigerator. So they want to open up the fridge to get out the food on Shabbos. So you can't do that. It's a psik reisha that the light's going to go on. It's a psik reisha nichalei, because you want the light. You don't want it right now because it's bothering you on Shabbos, but you really do want that light. Haraya, you have a light 6 days a week. So psik reisha, the nichalei, is defined by what you want during the week, not what you want on Shabbos. Otherwise, you never have psik reisha. The nichalei, nobody wants to be chayav skila. So obviously, it's defined by what your standards are during the week. So the person realizes, I forgot to unscrew the bulb. So the poskim say, you're allowed to ask the non-Jew to open up the door for your light. I'm not asking the guy to turn on the light. I'm asking the guy to open up the refrigerator. If I open up the refrigerator, the light turns on. No. That's a psik reisha. So a mir liyakam, a psik reisha would be permissible at Tzarek Shabbos. Unless one argues that this is not a psik reisha, unless one argues this is worse than a psik reisha. So that was Rav Shlomo Zalman's chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman has sofek that when you have like a light on a refrigerator, so the way to turn on the light is to open the door. It's not shaft that I'm opening the door and then, oh, by the way, you know, a light's going on. It's not like I'm schlepping a chair. Oh, and by the way, a hole's being made in the ground. This is the darker book. This is how you turn on lights in the refrigerator. You don't stick your head, you don't make a hole in the back of the refrigerator and go through the back and then press the button. No, you open the door. So that's the way to open up a refrigerator light. That's the same way. How do you turn on a light in a house? Flipping the switch. So this is called lighting, putting on fire. This is called turning on a light via dayim. So Shlomo Zalman was noted to say, maybe that's not called obsegration. That's a disaster. If that's not called obsegration. That's called a dover of a chavi bamish, and then there's no head to fill with that.
Is it worse once the door is open than to tell them to take the light bulb out? Because that's already beyond just opening the door.
Right, so right, but that may be better because taking out the light bulb is probably only the rabbanim because that's extinguishing a something that doesn't have a real coal to it. So that's only a kibbutz mid rabbanon that would probably be more than so bad. So Ramesha didn't hold the way. Ramesha thought that having the goy open up the refrigerator, you could still split up and say that it's real obsecration. Obsecration there, meaning that would be mutter. I've told the story in the past about the car light. It's the same thing. When you open up the car door, the light goes on. Is that a dover mechamin mamish, or is that a obsecration? Now, if you can ask your goy, let's say you have to open up the car door for something, so some kind of whatever the tzarich is. You have to open the car door. Can I have the goy open up the car door? Do I have to be concerned that the light is going on? According to Shlomo Zalman, that's called the psik ratio of turning on the light, and that would be a problem. And that's why it's called a dover mechavim mamish of turning on the light. That would be a problem. But according to Moshe, that would be only a psik ratio of turning on the light, because we could split the mice of opening the door. I'm opening the door, and then the light's going on. According to Shlomo Zalman, by opening the door, I am the Adai, I am turning on the light. How do you view the opening of car doors and refrigerator doors? So according to Shlomo Zalman, that would be a problem. So we had many years ago in the Heights, it was a Friday night, we're sitting in the Beis Medrash, and a fellow came by to tell us that he had forgotten to lock his car door or something, and yet again, he's very nervous about leaving his car, rightfully so, in the middle of the Heights, wide open. And the problem was that he had in order to open up the door, even if he could somehow get around the finagle, around the tilt of mukta issues, but the light was going to go on. So I couldn't even be makabel that. I said, you have a car door that actually the light goes on. I was like, you should walk with the dog. That concept didn't register in my rear seat. So he said, yes. So I grabbed the dead car. His car light actually turns on when he opens the door. So I said, okay, I think we can have a guy do it. So we're going to get one of the security guards to open up. It was merely akum. The makum, it was a shvus to shvus. So whatever was going to happen in terms of moving the mukta to the doors and the rabbanans and the Shvistashus Bacham Hefsim Rubas, and so I was going to take up his car. I thought that was okay, and the turning on the light, I thought it was all right, because it was a merely act of obsecration. So at the time, one of the other fellows from this matter stopped me and said, no, he thinks that maybe this is the Dover Mechav in Mamish. So he yanked out of Shemir Shabbos Kuchos and showed me a footnote on the bottom, in the name of Shlomo Zalman. So Shlomo Zalman was anointed and said, this may be a Dover Mechav in Mamish. So I responded that Moshe has a tshuva by the refrigerator lights, where he calls it obsecration. So I thought that point of Moshe was with us. We were back and forth, talking about the Shaila. In the process, the car was broken into. The guy was sitting there. I guess the God of held it with mutter.
Is there a difference nowadays with all these LED lights? It's not even that
well, bulbs. Well, there's nothing that I said. None of these things, right? None of these
No, but the same way that you said originally, as far as if you know, taking out the bulb, is only the Darabon. This is
right.
Sure Darabon.
Right. Unless one holds up these lights, they're ice. I mean, in terms of Havara, they're probably not their ice, and there's nothing really burning. There's no real filament that's burning there. Unless one takes the approach that the electricity in general is their ice, it depends who you ask on that. So that's a big, big machlekes, obviously. So Rav Asher Weiss is of the opinion that any nuance of any electricity is nisagama min haTorah, it's not mutatish. And because this held that all of electricity is all boina, I'm sure Mazal and Salman. There are bottom rounds of the different opinions as to what a take is on electricity when there are no bulbs that are actually being lit. Anyways, getting back to that story. So in terms of the combing and brushing, all this kind of stuff, so and the normal circumstances, that's all, sir. Whether it's mechavim mamish obsecration, again, that's up for a lumdish discussion with some potential nafkaminas, but practically speaking, it would be problematic. There is a very, very common shayla that's asked today about brushing and combing, and that has to do with brushing and combing shetels. Is that included in this isra or not? There's any reason to believe this is also. So clearly, this has nothing to do with geysers. You can't ask a brushing shetel. The hair is not growing in the shetel. So that wouldn't pose a problem of gozes. Is there any other reason to suggest that it may be a problem to brush a sheitel? So Shlomo Zalman suggests that it may be totally in two opinions in the Ramah, which is not much to do with gozes. It's Ramah, and please maybe don't tell your wife that said this, but Shlomo Zalman said it. Shlomo Zalman said that if you look in the Ramah puts two days in Rishonim about you're allowed to sweep a floor on Shabbos, even in a situation where the sweeping itself is not problematic. There's a whole sugya in the Gemara about sweeping dirt floors on Shabbos. When you sweep the dirt floors, you're moving the dirt around, you're making holes, you're moving on, you're all kind of changing of the layer, the level of the playing field, changing the level of the dirt floor. So that could potentially be a problem of bone, chayish, etc. So you're showing them right that what if it's not a dirt floor, but it's a wood floor, it's a tile floor. So then none of those problems would really apply. So then you have to figure out, is there a floor, is there a bonnet, etc. Those are details, but then there's a whole other problem. There are more quotes that Rishon said that if you use a broom and you start sweeping up and the bristles of the broom tend to break, so that's a problem with Shabbos. You're not allowed to break the bristles of the broom with Shabbos. That's what Kalkul Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. Another saying, no, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with breaking the bristles of the broom. So we're not exactly sure what the problem is. Why exactly would somebody say that that's also? What in the world is also about breaking these? You're mechavi, not mechavi. And therefore what? So a bristle fell out of the broom, and therefore what? So it's very unclear what the answer is. So the Shabura throws his hand up a little bit. He says that there are multiple to one opinion, and says you're not going to do it. Maybe it's some kind of a zilzal Shabbos or something, you're breaking something. It's not clear exactly what, if any, malachas, rach, malachas, there are there are. We're not exactly sure why anyone would answer it, but there are some who said that you're not supposed to do that in Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So Shlomo Zalman says that according to those machmir, again, which you don't really understand, so he said the same would be true with sheitels. When you brush the sheitel, so if some of the hairs come off, so of the sheitel, you know, you're not being gozes, so he thinks that would be a potential problem breaking the bristles of the broom. Again, I didn't mean to compare your wife's sheitel to the broom, but that's what the Shlomo Zalman's comparison was. So it's very hard to ask that question as this. So first of all, we have no idea really why anybody asked that, even in the case of the broom. And for Kef, there were many Rishonim who said it was totally mutter without Belishim suffering. And we're not even sure the facts are right. When you brush a sheitel today, if you brush a sheitel enough times, then you would have no hair left in the sheitel. Like, it's hard to anyone check with your wife today whether that's really true. You comb through the sheitel, brush the sheitel, the hairs of the sheitel fall off. Is that true?
A little bit.
Okay, I have to do it. I don't know. So I'm really not, it's really not much forte that particular aspect of our life. So anyway, someone asked and others said it was mutter. I think, I don't want to answer a show of hands, but I imagine if I took a show of hands at the women's of the Shabbos, I think I'd probably get the impression that most women do it. I think that most people are small women assume that a lot of brush and shape than Shabbos. So I'm not gonna answer that. Maybe I'm only opening a refrigerator or something. I'm not going to ask them to brush you in the shade. So
you don't want the hair coming
out. Right. The shade, you definitely don't want it to fall out. Right. So it's a, whatever it is, even if it's a integration of something that we're not sure is also, it's a little nichol. Yeah. There are a lot of reasons why it should be fine. Push up shot, that should be okay. So we started the sugi, the whole sugi of brushing and combing. The world has its roots back in Maseches Nazir. We extrapolate from one year of Lacha to another year of Lacha. So in that sugya, the beginning of Maseches Nazir, Kiveger has a bomb kasha. And Kiveger says, once we're already comparing areas of Lacha, we started in Nazirus, and we jump into Shabbos and Yontif and back and forth. So he says, you know what, there's another area of Lacha that's important for us in terms of pulling out hair, and that's in terms of removing one's payas. We mentioned this the other day, that there's an issa goma min ha-Torah, lo sakifu pe'as roshchem, you're not allowed to destroy the hair of your payas, lo sakifu pe'as roshchem. So the question is, how in the world does it have a mutter for a person to brush one's hair, to brush one's, comb one's payas? That's what the Kvegas Kash is. It's Turchi and Godel. He's not sure if it's mutter for a person to comb the payas. Why don't we say that we're going to comb the payas, or some of the hair is going to come out? So Rabbi Kiveger prefaces that question with a few assumptions, and it could be that the undermining of some of those assumptions may end up being the source for the heter. We usually assume that it's okay, but we have to figure out why exactly is that mutter. And I don't just mean combing long paste down there. I'm saying any brushing or combing in this area is also considered to be part of the Pasa Rosh. So how is any of that mutter? So Kiveger prefaces the question on the following premise. There is a sugya that appears in the third parak of Maseches Nachos, but the Gemara is not talking about cutting of payas. It must talk about Ashkos Tzadokim. There are two isurim in the Torah. Because the keep of Asreishchem, removing payas, the sash of Paskanecha, that's removing one's beard. So when it comes to removing one's beard, the Torah uses two phrases. In one place, the Torah says, lo sashchis Paskanecha, and in one place, it says, Paskanecha, Zekonim Leig Aleicha, Bekohanim, but we compare them to Israelim. So the Torah uses a Loshen Giluach and a Loshen Ashkosah. What is the difference, the similarity between those two Mishainas? That's the sugya at the end of the third back of Machas. The Gemara says as follows, that when it comes to the issur of removing one's beard, so it is only prohibited if two conditions are met. It has to be derech giluach, it has to be something that is a shaving kind of emotion, a cutting kind of emotion, unlike a yanking kind of emotion. That's what the Gemara says, if you take a tweezers and you pull out all the hair of your beard, that's not an issur. That's not an issur deraisa, that's called malacha or hitni, because even though that's hashchos, even though you're destroying the hair, but you're not shaving the hair, you're not cutting the hair, So that's not called a derech giluach, and that would not be a misa min haTorah. Similarly, the Gemara says, what if you do a maisa giluach, you do a cutting kind of emotion, but you don't do a derech hashchasa, you don't do it in a destroying manner. So the Gemara says, that's also okay. The only time of asra and Torah, el giluach sheyesh v'hashchasa. It has to be a combination of those two factors in order to be an asa. So what does that mean? What's a giluach sheyesh v'hashchasa? What would be an example of a cutting motion without hashchasa? So the Gemara says, if you use a scissors instead of using a blade, if you use one single blade, so the blade goes rammed against the face, so that cuts rubbish to the skin, so that's called derech hashchasa. If you use a scissor motion, so then by definition, you're never going to get to the face. So the other blade is going to always be blocking you in the cutting motion. So that's always going to be giluach she'ein ba hashchasa. And the Gemara says that's going to be permissible. So we had duam first when Alexis Shavis came out already in Europe, well over 100 years ago. So there was a big machlokes in the poskim in Europe. Those devices fall into the category of a giluach she'ein ba hashchasa. There were some poskim who were of the opinion, there were many at the time, one of those who asked using the original electric shavers. So there were many poskim who were concerned that that's also called hashchasa. It gets so close that you can barely, it's not like scissors of old. Scissors of old was you took scissors and you basically trimmed your beard. You basically had a lot of hair still sticking out. So that's mutter. But if you take an electric shaver, the scissors are so tiny that it gets so close, it's too close. It's too close for comfort. That's the problem. It's too close to the face. That's considered to be giluach she'yesh b'hashchasa. And other poskim said no. Other poskim said that that's not called hashchasa. At the end of the day, there's another blade there, so it's not a one-blade mechanism. So sure, it doesn't matter how close it gets. But at the end of the day, it's not getting as close as it could get because there is ultimately something, although very small, blocking it. That's also called giluach she'yesh b'hashchasa. So that was a running machlokes in Europe, and then it became in the Misnagdisha world to be very, very lenient about this. Most in the yeshiva world and the yeshiva bachurim. So the mini became very, very prevalent to shave, to assume that electric shavers were not considered to be a violation of a giluach she'yesh b'hashchasa. Every few months or so, there's always an alert out that tells you that this particular shaver that was just discovered, that no one ever knew about, this new one that was just made, this is the giluach she'yesh b'hashchasa. And then there's always a response that's not true, this one's also mutter. Back and forth. So it boils down to how serious does it really work? Is it really, truly getting down to the point where it's working as a one-blade motion or not? So this was the whole fight about lifting cuts years ago. It's still ongoing dispute about lifting cuts. Are they really doing what they claim to do? Is the whole advertising just a hoax? No man, is it really one blade? Is it two blades? Again, a lot of tippling about it. But again, the bottom line is that giluach she'yesh b'hashchasa is the problem by Asa Hazakan. If it's not, then it's okay. So it's a big machlokes to be shown him. But do these klolim carry over to Hakafas HaRosh as well? Because when it comes to Ruvayas, the Torah doesn't use these terms. The Torah just says, Mos Akifa Bas Resh. It doesn't say a word about Kiluk, it doesn't say a word about Hashkos, it doesn't say anything. So that's a big question. Can you take an electric shaver and just do your payas? So according to some Rishonim, that's Hetagoma. According to other Rishonim, it's Yechayv Malkus. It's a major, major Machlokes. Do the rules of that govern Pa'as HaZokhan, Hashkos HaZokhan, do they govern the rules of Pa'as HaRosh as well? So it's in that background that Gemega creates the question, what would the halacha be about brushing payas and combing payas? So it's the extension of the Hilchos Shabbos. Well, next week we'll try to pick up with that particular problem, that particular part of the Shaila, and just to complete the sugya in terms of business. Just in terms of schedule,